Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, November 30th, 2015. Here are our top stories.
Tonight, calls to fire the head of the DEA as politicians grow weary of the never-ending drug war. And world leaders use their private jets to gather at a climate summit where they hope to convince you to lower your standard of living. That's next.
You've got more than 20 carbon trading centers, and they're all literally owned by the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and every other piece of trash you can imagine, like Ted Turner, Bill Gates. I mean, it is a gravy train of open taxes paid directly to criminal maggots. You cannot make it up. A Nazi collaborator who helped round up thousands and rob them, who told 60 Minutes he's not sorry for it, running anti-liberty organizations in America, George Soros, good God!
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new, groundbreaking, gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Well, today the massive worldwide climate conference in Paris begins, and I think it's interesting to see how the French government is reacting to this, because you have to understand, this whole thing, the science of it, the environmental science, is based on an appeal to authority. But there's also a political science side to this, and it is also based on an appeal to authority. It's very authoritarian in nature, and we can see this in the suppression of debate and the recriminations against protesters. We can see this in the criminalization of dissent. These are all things that are being called for by politicians across Western Europe and the United States. But let's look at what's happening specifically in France. Now, France began by pledging 100% security within the climate conference walls. They said public demonstrations that were planned to coincide with the COP21 talks were canceled on security concerns. They say the security of everything within the rooms of the conference, we will guarantee 100%. But we can't completely ensure the safety of the external part. In other words, they're going to protect themselves, but they don't really care about you. They can't guarantee that they're going to protect you. And we have to understand that these are the same people that are suppressing speech and discussion about this on both sides. The people that they came after first are the people who think that they're not doing enough to control the climate, to control our economies. But they've shut down people on the other side as well. They're calling for RICO statutes to go after people on the other side. Saturday, before the conference even began, the French used their emergency laws to go out and arrest ahead of time climate protesters, potential protesters. They put 24 green activists under house arrest using emergency laws. The Interior Minister, Casanova, said the activists were suspected of planning violent protests. If you're suspected of planning, that's a crime, okay? So they said that they had been violent in past demonstrations, said that they would not respect the state of emergency that the French had declared. That was contested by Greenpeace France director, who said that to his knowledge, all those put under house arrest were pacifist activists who had never committed any violent acts, had never been charged with anything. They didn't say how long these people were going to stay under arrest, but it is apparently going to be the duration of the conference. Nevertheless, even though they put some people under house arrest, they still had about 100 people go out and riot because they want the government to do more. I don't know why they think the government is really cares about them, who really cares about the environment. These are the people, the big corporations, the big governments that the big corporations run. These are the people who are the biggest polluters, the biggest energy users on planet Earth. They're making money out of this. They're going to use your concerns if you believe that this is a problem. They're going to use your concerns to create global governance, or carbon imperialism, as India talks about it. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But look at what they did to the other side. This is what they did to the protesters, and some of them were violent as they came out and protested and clashed with police. We don't know who started the violence. Nevertheless, we saw a meteorologist, a household name in France. We pointed out this about a month ago. He was suspended. He was the national weatherman in France. Everybody knew him. He was on France Channel 2. And he said he wrote a book, My Climate Investigation. He said it was published about a month before they banned him from the airwaves. And he did this in response to what the foreign minister of France, Laurent Fabius, had said. He met with TV meteorologists, asked them to highlight climate change issues in their broadcasts. In other words, don't talk about the weather. Talk about my political agenda of climate change. And we saw this when there was the American Meteorological Society had their meeting here in Austin. There was an organization there that was funded by George Soros that was complaining about the fact that weathermen who are having difficulty predicting the weather accurately a day in advance, that weathermen were not pushing climate change, talking about how the climate is going to change 50, 100 years, 1,000 years from now. They were concerned about that, and they were saying, you are the people that are most trusted by the public. You can sell this agenda. Well, a lot of them weren't buying that. As a matter of fact, this head meteorologist in France said he was horrified by the efforts of the French minister to politicize this. And so he spoke out about it. He wrote this book. He accused state-funded climate change scientists of being manipulated, being politicized. He accused the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, that's the UN's IPCC, of publishing deliberately misleading data. So he was fired. That's the kind of recrimination and the kind of suppression of speech and debate that we see on both of anybody on either side of this issue being done by those who want to push this. Now, in the United States, of course, and we talked about this last week, I have a Democratic senator who's trying to prosecute global warming skeptics. He's behind this effort by scientists who sent a letter to the White House and the Justice Department asking them to use the RICO statutes to go after anyone who doesn't buy into global warming caused by coal. Very specific. Even though the science, I believe, is not settled, many people don't believe the science is settled, they're still going to go after people with a statute that was designed to go after organized crime. But, of course, Obama sees this as the high point of his environmental quest. That's what the Wall Street Journal says. They said back in 2009, he announced new fuel efficiency standards for vehicles, a huge stimulus package for renewable energy resources. And, of course, that's the bottom line. When you look at how these renewable energy programs work, you get an understanding that what this is about is a massive redistribution of wealth, redistribution to from one industry to another industry, from one country to another, from of sovereignty, from individual nation states to a global governance. Politico points this out. They say the more seriously you take the need to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, the angrier you should be. They said the Paris climate deal is really going to be meaningless. But let's take a look at their analysis, because they do believe that one is needed. They believe that we're in an emergency situation. But they say the climate talks are complex and opaque. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like the trade treaties that we've seen being privately negotiated, being opaque, not open to the public? They say conventional wisdom holds that negotiators are hashing out a fair allocation of the deep emission cuts all countries would need to make that limit warning. The image bears little resemblance, however, to reality. Because we always see is this secret confab that is going to allocate resources, allocate economies, whether it's with trade or whether it's with energy usage. And, of course, they're going to create a international organization that is not going to be accountable to any of the nations that created it to do that allocation in the future. They point out that China and India have rejected, quote, any obligatory review mechanism for increasing individual efforts of developing countries. There you go. See, and we're going to talk about how this really breaks down with the drafts that we have seen released of the actual climate change. But understand that the way that they're selling this, they're telling you that global warming causes things like terrorism. We've seen that this is told, Bernie Sanders was talking about how it was a direct cause of terrorism. We've seen Obama saying that it was a direct cause of terrorism. Now seen Prince Charles saying the same thing. We're told that it's going to cause flying rocks. Yes, that came out this weekend. We're told that polar bears are going to be floating on icebergs at sea. We've got a documentary filmmaker who's going to be tackling that with us later in the program. We're even told that mummies are going to be turning to black ooze. Maybe we're going to have dogs and cats living together. This is biblical, the catastrophes that are on our way. But what are the real causes of this? What are the things that we need to stop? Well, we've been told your car, of course, but let's not crack down on the cars of the globalists who are going to profit from this. The trips, even though they can fly on private jets everywhere. It gets even more personal, though. They're going to come after your steak, your turkey, your pumpkin. We've got articles about all of that. Going back to this last weekend, Washington Post talked about another danger of climate change, because everything that goes wrong in the world is about climate change. This one, giant flying boulders. And they point out James Hansen, the retired NASA scientist, sometimes dubbed the father of global warming, says that a series of giant boulders arranged in almost perfect line down in the Bahamas is evidence of previous global warming. He has a theory about these rocks, they say. It's so provocative, frankly terrifying, that some critics wonder whether the man who helped to spawn the whole debate about the dangers of climate change has gone too far. Yes, another wild tale. Here he's got a large number of rocks, and simply because the rocks are different in consistency from the soil on which they rest, he believes that they were thrown up there by the ocean in a previous time when it would have been man-made global warming, but it would have been global change worldwide. And of course, they're in a straight line, but of course, that wouldn't be man-made, because you can't imagine people being able to do something like that, because everybody, if they don't have a PhD from an Ivy League school, they can't figure out how to tie their own shoes. Nevertheless, this is the kind of thing we've seen. And of course, they're coming after juicy steaks. This is an article from The Lid. The global warming believers want to take away the joy of a juicy steak. Of course they do. They hate cows. They hate everything that's part of your lifestyle. That's why you have to understand, this isn't something that's just going to affect the oil industry or the coal industry. They're going to affect everything that you do. Another article, should your turkey be taxed for climate change? Of course, they're coming after turkey because it's Thanksgiving. A month ago, it was the pumpkins that they were coming after. And of course, this is all about stopping terrorism. Climate change is about stopping terrorism, remember? We've got Prince Charles now saying that climate change is to blame for ISIS. This is what he had to say. The accumulating effect of climate change means that people will have to move. No, the reality is that when we create wars in their country, they have to move as refugees. That's what's really creating this. And as we pointed out before, when Obama made this ridiculous statement, when we had Bernie Sanders saying it was a direct cause of terrorism, we pointed out Al-Qaeda and ISIS were not created to combat climate change or global warming. So these are things that are absolutely insane. But in order to take care of all these alarmist claims that they make, they're going to have to come out after everything that you have, your car, your ability to move around, everything that you eat, your business, your air conditioning, your fireplace, your barbecue. Everything will have to be changed. It will have to be sacrificed to their world religion. And we're talking about world religion. Look at what the Pope is saying. The world is headed towards suicide if no climate agreement is reached. Yeah, we have a disaster of biblical proportions, he says. He says this is likely humanity's last chance. He says the world is at the limits of suicide. That's what the Pope is telling people, trying to make a moral case for this. I think far closer to reality is the idea that it is carbon imperialism. This is what India is saying. As John Kerry came out and singled India out as the biggest challenge, they got very angry about this. The UK Telegraph points out, through the smog, coal-hungry India sees carbon imperialism in the West. They point out one thing that Western countries can agree on is that dirty, polluting coal needs to be phased out. That's Obama's war on coal. Remember, he pointed that out before he even became president. He said, you can open a coal burning factory, but a power source, but we're going to bankrupt you if you do. They say, unfortunately, India is already the world's third largest polluter, and they're not about to reduce any of their coal productions. They say the breakneck dash for coal is taking place across India, where on average one new mine is opening every month. And that's while we are closing ours. Now, they're saying that they're not going to take any kind of reductions, any kind of cutbacks. As we've seen in the official draft text of this agreement, we've seen that there are two ways that they are looking to move forward on this. This is on page 19, article 10, global stock take. In other words, we're going to look at where everybody falls on this. We're going to monitor what people are doing, and we've got two options to do this. Number one, we'll have a committee that will promote compliance through adequate financial resources and a transfer of technology. So in other words, we're going to give them technology, we're going to give them money, and it'll be largely voluntary. But the second option, and this is what we need to be concerned about, is an international tribunal of climate justice established to address cases of non-compliance of the commitments of developed countries. and that needs to have an indicated list of consequences, they say. Now, still, these are two options. It could go either way, right? But when you look at what they say to flesh this out, under option number one, they say the committee shall consist of blank number of members. It's not really defined. And they say that they may consider issues on the basis of this or that. But the second option, which is an enforcement option, enforcement compliance, they're very detailed about that. They don't question how many members they have. They say they're going to have 12 members. They're going to be equally represented the least developed countries with the most developed countries, and there will be a two-thirds majority to make adjustments to these agreements. They say they'll have two separate branches, an enforcement branch for developed countries and a facilitative branch for developing countries. In other words, we will get the stick and they will get the carrot, and we will pay for the technology that is given to them, and we will pay in terms of the loss of income and production capability, as well as a transfer of wealth and technology. And this is precisely what we saw this last weekend. Latin American countries are saying, here's the bill that we're presenting to you, the rich, at this climate summit. Shut down your industries and do this in terms of climate justice. We already saw what Obama did in a previous meeting with China. He agreed to cutbacks in our emissions and allowed China to continue to grow until 2030. The result of that will be that by 2030, China will have 50% of global emissions. The U.S. will be reduced to 5%. So this is about shutting down our economy. It's about that and nothing less. And the people who think that the government really cares about the environment need to look at the way the government has responded to any discussion of the issue. Now, stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jakari Jackson about some issues on the news. And at the next segment after that, we're going to have an interview with the filmmaker J.D. King. And he tackles this environmental issue direct head on, going after the icon of the global warming industry, the polar bear floating on a melted ice floe. We'll be right back.
All you ISIS people threatening us, hey, we're not a French newspaper, okay? We got people that have taken your asses out in this building right now. We're armed to the teeth, and we're not scared. You got that, you sons of bitches? This is Texas. You want to threaten me, you can go straight to hell. You understand that?
Never water yourself down just because someone can't handle you at 100 proof. It's the Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well. And he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype. And I said, here, take some home, try it. Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing. He said, why does it work so well? And I said, listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself.
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Shane noticed the mental clarity. Bobby was able to work out longer and gain muscle mass. He's already completely shredded. I gotta admit, for me, the biggest effect has been libido. Now, I've never claimed to have a body like some beach model, but back when I was 20, 22 years old and worked out every day, I looked great. But over the years, and being married, having three kids, and working 18 hours a day, I gained basically 100 pounds. And it's been a long process losing that weight in the last 4 years. But if you look at the photos and the videos of what I looked like 4 or 5 years ago versus today, the results are dramatic. I'd already cleaned up my diet. I was working out hard, but I'd only lost about 20 pounds. It was adding the other key ingredients from InfoWarsLife.com that helped me personally go to the next level and shed another 35 pounds.
This has actually made me feel so good that here lately, about a year ago, I started training jiu-jitsu, and that kind of led to doing some boxing and kickboxing. I mean, it's amazing that 2 years ago, I was on the couch and couldn't even tie my shoes, and now I'm training with MMA fighters and just doing stuff that I never thought that I would be doing ever again. So Super Male Vitality has allowed me to do some amazing things, and if it has those kind of effects for me, I know that it will do great things for you. So just try Super Male Vitality. I promise you, you'll love it.
And finally, let's look at Anthony Gucciardi, InfoWars.com reporter. He also works with Dr. Group and others, helping develop the newest, most cutting-edge, high-quality supplements. Let's take a look at what happened when he tried to barefoot ski for the first time with the Steiners. And remember, we're not making fun of him. He had the will to get in the arena, and he's lost more than 10 pounds in the last few years of fat and gained more than 10 pounds of muscle. And Anthony chalks it up to Super Male Vitality as well. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Well, of course, as we've been talking about the climate conference going on in Paris, we're going to have an interview with a filmmaker about a groundbreaking film that he has showing the false narrative of polar bears disappearing and disappearing ice caps. That's going to be in the next segment. Jakari Jackson is joining us now with some other news, because there are other things that are happening besides the global takeover of everything.
Yeah, besides these guys flying around in their private jets with their limos and all this stuff, renting out entire floors and hotels to serve their aides and all this stuff. But they want to come and tell you about your climate. But there are other things going on in the world right now, David, such as the DEA. We know the war on drugs, or as many people say, the failed war on drugs. And when you think about these gangster movies, they have the old Prohibition movies. These guys riding around with the machine guns, Tommy guns, shooting people dead in the street. And people, they look back at that period in history. They can watch these things on the History Channel, and they say, that's so barbaric. How could people possibly allow this to happen in the United States of America, that we would outlaw something to the point where we'd have violent crime running rampant in the streets, black markets created? Meanwhile, we have the American drug war going on. Right now, it's
same thing, drive-by shooting, same motivation.
Yeah, the exact same things that are going on right now. And now we have the article, the DEA has failed to eradicate marijuana. Some members of Congress want it to stop trying. And this documents how the DEA spends about $18 million in efforts with state and local authorities to pull up marijuana plants being grown indoors and outdoors. In the mid-2000s, it became clear that the overwhelming majority of marijuana plants netted by the program were actually ditchweed, a wild, non-cultivated, non-psychoactive cousin of marijuana. So a lot of these marijuana plants they're actually digging up, David, aren't even marijuana. They resemble marijuana. They don't have any of the effects of marijuana, but meanwhile, these guys...
Sounds like the solution to climate change, you know. We'll go out and we'll do something. We'll pay ourselves. We'll create this massive bureaucracy.
Yes.
We'll transfer money from the taxpayer to this bureaucracy. We'll take away your freedoms. We'll take away the rule of law. We'll take away sovereignty. And yet, we'll declare victory, you know, because we're picking up these
Yeah, because we're picking up these weeds. And some estimates are saying that the DEA spends about $4.20, on the marijuana plant for each one. And in other estimates, they say some of them cost about $60 per plant to uproot. So that's after, you know, they get all the guys and the MRAPs and the heavy arm to go out there and do all these things. They're estimating they can cost about as much as $60 per plant, assuming they even find real ones.
Absolutely insane. And, you know, there's this article that came out this week in Jakari about this college student right here in Texas, College Station, Texas A&M. She was 19, and she got a lot of publicity because they took her mugshot, and she's smiling, you know, and it's like she's facing some really serious charges. You know, why is she smiling? I mean, she was there for heavy quantity of drugs, a wide variety of drugs. She had cocaine, marijuana, ecstasy, meth in her apartment in large quantities. She had a drug price list, handwritten, two digital scales. They had packaging material. They had emails showing that she's dealing. But she's smiling. Now we know why she's smiling. Her father is a big wig in the DEA.
Oh.
And I think it really shows the bankruptcy of this whole approach. You know, they say in this article from the Daily Mail, they say her father, Bill Furay, is a hardened, no-nonsense law enforcer who sees drug dealers as the scourge of society. Now, I would say the scourge of society is the failure of families, the failure of personal responsibility, the mm-hmm. failure of any kind of morality or rule of law. All of those things are being wiped out by our society, by our government, especially by the war on drugs. And I think it shows the futility of a father who is out there arresting people, using the hammer of law enforcement to try to solve a problem that is essentially one that is spiritual in nature, that has to do with the breakdown of society, but they're going to do it with law enforcement, with prohibition, and all that does is make the problem worse. But she may be smiling because she knows daddy's going to make sure that she doesn't go to jail for an extended period of time, because that's the other thing that we see, how the people who are at the top of this this empire that we have built basically just run right through these laws. They don't get
absolutely
affected by
just it. I believe it was one of Jeb's daughters, one of the Bush girls, yeah. who got caught with you know, whatever drug it was. And I'm not saying lock her away and throw away the key, but Jeb, if you're going to let your daughter off, why don't you release some of these people from prisons?
It was prescription drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't even the other stuff. It was prescription drug abuse. And at the time they pointed that out, Jakari, he really came down on the Miami paper that pointed this out. But then he brings it up himself as a badge of compassion because he shares your pain. No, he doesn't share your pain because his daughter's life was not destroyed.
Yes.
She wasn't sent to jail for a very long period of time. You know, they caught her with prescription drugs, and then while she was under treatment or something, then they caught her with, I think, cocaine or something. I'm not sure of the details of that. But nevertheless, she's caught with multiple issues like that. And we've seen all these politicians, like Carly Fiorina, you know, using her stepdaughter, who was a grown woman at the time, who died from alcohol and abuse of prescription drugs, using that to say, no, for marijuana, we need to shut this down. And while we talk about Chris Christie, he also used a friend of his. And, you know, he got an endorsement this weekend from the New Hampshire major newspaper, the New Hampshire Union. And this is what they said. I thought it was very funny because I can't help but make fun of Chris Christie on a personal level because he's such an authoritarian creep. I can't stand this guy because he's constantly pushing for the war on drugs. They said it was an enormous win for Christie, who has campaigned heavily in New Hampshire. And I would add that he is sagging behind in seventh place.
Christie.
They endorsed him, and I guess that's kind of an endorsement for them, but we don't endorse Chris Christie or his policies. He's the guy who says that he's going to shut things down in Colorado, where the voters said, no, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to do this insanity for marijuana. They're still going to continue the insanity and the illegal war on drugs for other drugs, but not for marijuana. And he says, well, we're going to make sure that you don't have that right. See, the reality, Jakari, that we've been talking about all along is that when you're talking about alcohol prohibition, as you began this discussion, that was done with an amendment to the Constitution in recognition that there is no inherent power in the Constitution, no specifically delegated power in the Constitution to the federal government to handle any of that.
Yes.
It's a state issue. If the states wanted to ban alcohol, they could ban alcohol or marijuana or anything else. But if they say they don't want to do it, then the government really doesn't have the authority. And I think the move that we're seeing right now is not a move of compassion all of a sudden, but it's the fact that in these various states, people have stood up to the government with state nullification and said, no, you're not going to have a war on marijuana here. We're sick of this nonsense. And they're either going to have to back down and say, all right, yeah, so we're going to make marijuana legal everywhere, or it's going to be revealed that the emperor has no clothes.
Yeah, they don't want that to be shown, because just like we have this article here, David, talking about the rise of synthetic drugs, they have the drug called Spice, which is making people sick all over California. And it says this is the second weekend in a row that police officers saw multiple overdoses in the area. This is in San Diego, bringing the total number of those sickened to around 30 people. So basically they have these synthetic drugs, Spice, it also goes by the name K2, Joker, Black Mamba, Kush, Chronic, and things of the sort. Now it is illegal in California, but it is legal in other places. So people say, well, you won't give us the real weed, so we'll go out and smoke fake weed that makes us sick.
Yeah, or skunk. We saw the article said that skunk destroys white brain matter. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted out, black brain matter matters.
Yes.
So, but the bottom line is people need to understand these synthetic and concentrated forms of drugs are a fruit of prohibition. We saw it happen with alcohol. Prior to alcohol prohibition, people were mainly, you know, doing beer at low levels, wine at low levels. But then they got into very hard, concentrated forms of hard liquor because of prohibition. Yeah, they get into the harder, more concentrated forms because it's easier for them to transport that out. And then they come up with very dangerous forms of it, like wood alcohol that was making people blind. So that's the fruit of prohibition. We've talked to law enforcement officers against prohibition many times in this program to talk about the evils of prohibition. And that's just one more of them, the synthetic, concentrated forms of it.
Yeah, and I believe you had an article, David, talking about Bernie Sanders and Hillary actually getting in on the debate, talking about the war on drugs, in particular marijuana. Now, many people are going to ask, well, why would they want to get involved in this type of situation? But as you were pointing out to me during the break, you know, well, maybe they see that they're losing this effort in the cause and the drug war as far as marijuana. They still want to ban cocaine and heroin, and I'm not saying go out and do any of those things.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, they're saying...
No, it's about personal responsibility.
Yeah, but they're saying, well, okay, well, we see that we're filling our prisons with all these nonviolent offenders. Maybe we should step back at least on this particular issue of it.
Yeah, and they're going to lose if they continue to push this illegal war on drugs, if they try to challenge the states. I think that's the fundamental thing about it. We've got 1 minute left. You got a quick story there that you wanted to cover?
Well, I mean, just when, as we think about this war on drugs, you know, when you're putting nonviolent people into the prison so much at the rate where you have to release violent offenders, we see murderers and rapists and armed robbers and people of this sort being released back out to the streets because, you know, some kid who got caught with a few joints in his pocket is now serving his sentence under a mandatory minimum. It's completely ridiculous. It needs to stop. I'm not telling anybody to go out there and do whatever type of drug, but I do support things like medical marijuana, which is very ridiculous to me when people will just come down on medical marijuana. Meanwhile, you can go to the pharmacy and get high as a kite off half the stuff in there anyway.
Well, that's just it, Jakari. It's about informed consent. If they can tell you that you can't take something that you want to take for your own medical use, whether it's medical marijuana or whether it's an unapproved cancer drug, they can also force you to take vaccines that you don't think are safe and effective.
Yes.
So it's really fundamentally about your freedom. Stay with us. We'll be right back with an interview with filmmaker J.D. King. He's doing a film exposing the false narrative of climate change using their false icon, the disappearing polar bear.
You guys have the exclusive for, which is a product called Deep Cleanse. And why I'm so excited about it is it's a unique formula, almost like the iodine crystals. We have two unique products that nobody in the world has. One of the most amazing ingredients in the world, and it's called Shilajit, and it's actually known as blood of the mountain or rock sweat because thousands of years ago, as a matter of fact, this ingredient was only given to the elite of the elite. Thousands of years ago, up in the Himalayan mountains and in Tibet.
And we wanted to put this in stuff for a couple years, but we couldn't get an organic form.
Right. I mean,
so let's explain. I mean, this stuff's so good, we couldn't put it out for years.
Right. So I had to actually, it's kind of like the iodine crystals, finding a source deep in the earth that we could get the cleanest source available. But in Tibet and in Nepal and in the Himalayan mountains, thousands of years ago, they watched these monkeys, and during the summer months, the monkeys would go up into the mountains.
Now you're being racist against monkeys.
And they would pick this black substance from the mountains. And so, in Russia, they actually, it grows in Russia in the mountains and in the Himalayas and only in the summer. And Shilajit is actually the decomposition of up to 7,000 different medicinal herbs. So it decomposes, all these different herbs decompose in the Himalayan mountains and the volcanic soil up there. And what happens in the summertime...
So it's almost like an oil from...
Yes, it's high in fulvic acid, it's high in humic acid.
Because they're always claiming oil is really from decomposed animals and plants. There is some oil that is based from fossils, but most of it's really abiotic. But so this is a true fossil source? I mean, explain it to me.
It is it's really the decomposition, like I said, of over 7,000 different medicinal herbs and plants, and with the rocks and the pressure deep in the mountains, it freezes and during the summertime and the pressures build it up.
It oozes out.
It oozes out. So it literally oozes out of the mountain.
It's like rock sap.
It's like rock sap. It's black and it's highly nutritious. Even in the 1980s when the Olympic athletes in Russia were accused of being on steroids, they found out that they were actually been given Shilajit because it works as an anabolic as well. and it builds muscles. It's a big dose in there. The second big main ingredient in there is a volcanic zeolite concentrate. And what this formula is designed to do, the shilajit and the zeolites have a real strong negative charge. All the metals and chemicals and PCBs and VOCs have positive charges. So these go in, they grab it, and then they safely eliminate it through the body so you can become healthy. I mean, this is an amazing formula. I wish I actually had it, but because this was an exclusive InfoWars Life product, you're the only one in the world that has this formula now. And, you know, there is going to be a limited supply available when you sell out because you can only harvest this once a year.
How do people take it? How is it recommended that this be done? Just a daily dose?
Yeah, daily dose. The instructions are on the label. You know, of course, I kind of modify it for each individual. It depends on what your lifestyle is. I mean, honestly, the best thing to do is for you to avoid all these chemicals and toxins in your environment and try to identify them and start slowly reducing them. But personally, I'm going to probably take it every day, every other day, and I'll probably go with about a dropper full to maybe two dropper fulls. And I don't expose myself to any chemicals.
InfoWarsLife.com. Please also support our local AM and FM affiliates. Support their local sponsors or become a sponsor and spread the word. Because these aren't just great products. This is how we fund this independent operation. We're not taxpayer funded like MSNBC or NPR, and neither is your local station. So support them, folks. This is a war.
Now, we've all seen the icon of climate change, the lonely polar bear floating on a broken off piece of melting down polar ice cap. That's the icon. We're going to talk to a filmmaker, J.D. King, who is directly attacking that false icon. He's also got a couple of movies about climate change, about environmentalism, the way the government uses these things as beards, Crying Wolf and Blue. His website is BlueBeatsGreen.com. Joining us now is J.D. King. Thank you for joining us, J.D. Now, I want to give people an idea of what your film is about that is oriented towards polar bears. Let's let the trailer do the talking. Here's that trailer.
For years, we've heard about Arctic polar bears roaming ever-shrinking habitats in search of dwindling food supplies.
Rising temperatures are killing off polar bears.
The diminishing population of polar bears.
Dwindling numbers of polar bears.
Feasting on dolphins for the first time ever.
You are watching the process of extinction happen before your eyes.
Think about this. When former Vice President Al Gore was born, there were less than 5,000 polar bears alive in the wild. Today, there's over 25,000. And think about this. Right now, there's almost exactly the same amount of global sea ice coverage as there was in 1979 when scientists first began monitoring it. In fact, the Arctic sea ice grew by almost a third last year alone. But in spite of these facts, global leaders are going to be meeting in Paris to discuss cracking down on carbon dioxide emissions in the name of saving the planet. But if they can't get something as simple as polar bears right, which has been the icon of the whole entire climate change movement, how can anybody trust them with something infinitely more complicated like the global climate system?
Global warming, the whole issue is not about weather, it's about power.
The entire establishment climbed onto this global warming bandwagon because it was a wonderful way of extending its power, extending its tax base, extending its reach into people's homes and lives and properties.
Environmentalists have found here what they think is the path to demonizing energy use.
All you have to do is say you want to save the environment and you're in and you get the loot. And that's what this boils down to. Money and power. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the environment.
There are politicians, corporations, media, universities, environmental groups, and a list of many other organizations who are making untold billions of dollars off of the American taxpayer, aka me and you, in the name of saving the planet from climate change.
That's a great trailer. I can't wait to see the film. There's a great quote in there, JD, where somebody said it wasn't about weather, but about power. I think that's absolutely true. Your comments.
Oh, absolutely. The whole global warming movement, actually beyond global warming, just in the environmental realm, over the last 5 or 6 years since I've been making films exposing this, it always goes back to money, power, and control. It's something that the other side always talks about, you know, accusing the capitalist and the libertarian or the person who speaks on behalf of free enterprise in this country. They call them the greedy people, all about their pocketbooks. But the reality is all you have to do many times is just say you're for saving the planet, and you're going to get a share of the loot.
Absolutely. It's about an appeal to an authority. They use that when they're talking about the climate science, they appeal to authority. But when they talk about the political science of what they're going to do, it's totally authoritarian. We talked about this earlier, about the crackdown on free speech, regardless of which side of the issue you're on. They're going after the protesters in Paris, preemptively arresting them before the conference even began, then going after the protesters in the street. Those people want even more to be done. They don't think enough is being done to protect the planet from man-made global warming. But then the people who are on the other side, like the French, the head French weatherman in the national television station, he got completely censored and shut down. It's absolutely amazing, but it's totally authoritarian in what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely, David. And what scares me about this whole thing is how they're using such extreme language. You know, President Obama and a lot of these other global leaders who are organizing COP21 in Paris, which is going on right now for the next couple of days, you know, they're equating what they're doing with fighting terrorism. And the president recently emphasized cracking down against cynicism. In other words, skeptics, people who don't swallow hook, line, and sinker everything that they're saying. And so effectively, they're calling people like me and like you and anybody else who doesn't totally buy into this whole global warming story, they're equating us with terrorists.
Yes,
By and large.
It's very authoritarian, and I hope the people, even the people who disagree with us on the science, I hope they see the authoritarianism behind this and understand that these people who have that kind of orientation aren't going to give you what you think they're going to give you. They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to your concerns. And of course, there's a lot of crony capitalism behind this as well. That's the ultimate power behind all this. But let's go back to your film, Vice Bear, and what we saw was a trailer there of Vice Bear. And I think you focused on, and it's part of a Kickstarter project. We should mention that if people want to try to help you to fund this to completion. Mm-hmm. I think it was great that you focused on the icon for global warming, because that's the polar bear. And that quote that you had there that you read in the trailer, there were 5,000 polar bears when Al Gore was born, and now there are 25,000. And yet the media is telling us that they're all dying, they're all starving to death on ice floes.
Yeah, and this is what the film's all about. You know, anybody you stop on the street who's concerned even about global warming, and you really push them, you know, what they say a lot of times is they still fall back to the polar bear thing and the ice melting. And what we're going to do is just basically state the facts as they are. And that is, since Al Gore was born, like he said, polar bears have like gone up quadruple or quintuple in number. How can an apex predator, the largest predator that lives on land in the world, you know, it doesn't have any natural predators, and it's increased 4 or 5 fold, you know, in the last 50 years, how can that possibly be threatened? In fact, the polar bear is the only species ever to be listed on the endangered or threatened species list for what might happen to it because of climate change. The reality is this animal's thriving, and we want to tell that story.
That's amazing. You know, we're getting a lot of contradictory information from these people who supposedly, monolithically, all think the same thing. And even just that should scare the living daylights out of anybody who is a scientist. Whenever you've got everybody in lockstep and you can't tolerate any skepticism, any difference of opinions, that's a very dark time. We've seen those types of prosecutions and persecutions in the past, persecutions of people who don't toe the consensus report. And of course, science isn't formed by consensus. It's formed by real hard data. And the story of scientific breakthroughs have always been one individual standing up and challenging this unchallengeable conventional wisdom that everybody has out there. But another part of that equation, you're talking about the polar bears, another part of it is the polar ice caps, because we're getting conflicting data from NASA, for example. First, they tell us that they've increased for the most in 6 years. Then they tell us that they're going away. And then they have a clarification less than a month ago where they're talking about how that, yes, there's an increased amount of ice that is breaking off and melting on one side of the polar ice cap, but it is increasing everywhere else. So a net increase in the polar ice caps is the maximum it's ever been.
Yeah, and it's something we really want to highlight in this film. And it boils down to that. You know, if we can't trust these people, the consensus, the establishment, what you want to call them, you know, the approved scientists, if we can't trust them with something that's extremely simple, like polar bear numbers and the amount of ice on the planet, how can we possibly even fathom or dream about trusting them with something infinitely more complicated like the global climate system? That's what we want to drive home with this film. And I honestly am super excited about this project, and I think it really reaches people where they're at, the average American, and will pop open their eyes, hopefully, to what's really going on here.
I think you're hitting at the core of the issue. You're hitting at their ultimate symbol, and that is, like you said, the polar bear. When we come back, we've got to take a break. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about your previous documentaries. You had one called Blue that was about a lot of environmentalism. I think it's very interesting. You grew up in Montana, in love with nature and the natural area there. So you're not anti-environment whatsoever. You want a clean environment, but you understand there's a different agenda behind the mask that they're using to sell these controls to us. So I want to talk to you about your other documentary, Blue, and then also about the one that you did on the reintroduction of wolves into Yellowstone. I think that's a very interesting take on that. So I want to talk to you about both of those when we come back. Just give us a tease before we go to the break about Blue. Tell us the subjects that it covers.
Well, environmentalism in Montana is really what opened my eyes to the whole entire topic. And growing up on a ranch, I was exposed to a lot of overreach environmentalism when it came to private property rights. And that's what got me going. But it covers the local issues and global issues as well.
We'll be right back with filmmaker J.D. King. Stay with us.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2.
I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there.
Take advantage of this at InfoWarsLife.com.
And why wearing a Hillary for President t-shirt might get you punched in the face.
They thought it said Hillary for President. He said, I was seconds away from sending my bar back over here to punch you in the face. Since you're wearing a Hillary for Prison shirt, you don't have to buy drinks here. Everything's on the house.
Hillary for President! Hillary's not surging, I tell you that. They're not saying that. They're not saying that. Thank you.
Donald Trump endorses Hillary for Prison. Get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt at the InfoWars store. And on the back it says, legalize freedom. Show your disapproval of Hillary by buying your t-shirt today.
But what she's done is criminal.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
Welcome back. We're talking to filmmaker J.D. King. His website is bluebeatsgreen.com. He's got a new film about polar bears, the icon of the global warming crowd, and the fact that the narrative that they're feeding us about that, about the polar ice caps, is not true at all factually. But this isn't the first film that he's done. He's done another film called Blue. I understand that just went up today on YouTube. Is that right, J.D.?
Correct. Yeah, I just put the entire film up on my YouTube channel, Blue Beats Green, in light of what's going on right now at the climate conference in Paris and my new film campaign on Kickstarter.
Great. Tell us a little bit about Blue. Tell us what topics it covers and a little bit of how you're...
Absolutely. So what Blue does, it gets into the nitty-gritty facets of environmentalism, all the little fingers that are reaching all over the planet, especially in the Western United States, where I grew up out in Montana. It looks at local issues where people, you know, average Americans are fighting really for their jobs and for their way of life out west, in the natural resource world where environmentalists are shutting down industry after industry after industry in the name of saving the planet. And I interview these people who have lived through it all. You know, they grew up in places that were wonderful, were beautiful, surrounded by mountains, and the industry was great there, mining in some places, timber in other places. And environmentalists literally came in and they said, you can't do this anymore. They shut it down, and these communities have gone to hell in a handbasket. They've been destroyed, and as a result of that, we've seen crime rates go out the roof. Jails are filled up. There's all kinds of abuse situations going on. There's no jobs. All the young people like myself are leaving because there's nothing left anymore. And on top of it all, the issues that the environmentalists came in and shut down these industries in the name of, think Spotted Owl, think Runoff, none of them proved to help the environment at all. In fact, they made things worse. And so that's what opened my eyes to this. And I document that. And then I trace it back to the bigger picture. So I slowly zoom out and I show issues that that are going on in the world right now with climate change. It's the same story. Money, power, and control. I tie it in with Agenda 21. And a lot of the global thing is going on right now with that. Population control is touched on as well.
You know, when you're talking about that, I've seen a lot of stories about this as we talk to people about their struggles with BLM, the Department of Interior. At the Bundy Ranch, for example, there was the endangered species of the desert tortoise, and yet the BLM had collected over 1,000 of these and eventually took them out of their habitat, kept them in their area, said, well, we can't afford to feed them ourselves, so they euthanized them. They didn't release them out into the environment where they could survive. They euthanized them. So this is the insanity that they're doing. But seeing the same sort of thing that you're talking about, the devastation of local economies, we've seen that in Oregon with the miners and the loggers out there, how they completely shut down their economy, said, don't worry, we're going to give you, we know that all the jobs are based around logging, but we're going to give you money from Washington for 10 years. Well, the 10 years ended, and now they're in dire straits because they got this transitional welfare state that's now being cut off. JD, that's essentially, as I see it, what's going to be happening to entire countries, what they have done to those areas, those specific areas like you're talking about in Montana and the ones that I've seen in Oregon and in Nevada.
Absolutely, because when you switch to something, you know, with crony capitalism, with a centralist government trying to switch to green fuels, you know, so-called renewables, what they're doing effectively is driving up the cost of energy. And when you drive up the cost of energy, you drive up the cost of everything else, because everything that we do uses energy. And when you do that, the cost of everything goes up. The economy is hurt. You get fewer jobs, higher unemployment rates. And so what I really want people to do is use the film Blue that I just put up on Bluebeat Screen as a tool to share with their friends and educate people about what's going on in this world right now. It's crazy with the environmental movement. I honestly think, too, and I touch on this a little bit in the film, that by and large, it is a replacement ethic that's being pushed by the totalitarians. You know, they want out with the old. They want out with, you know, Christianity and Judeo-Christian values. And they want to replace that with something because they know people need that. And what they're doing is they're trying to replace that with an ethic that's all about the environment. Right and wrong is all defined with the environment now. Are you good for the planet? Is your carbon footprint too big? And it doesn't matter what the heck you do with yourself or what your life, you know, what you believe, what kind of lifestyle you lead. It's all about this replacement ethic. And that's something that's really concerning to me as well.
You know, we saw that exactly when we followed the Pope around. He was making a moral issue out of global warming. And he was telling people that, you know, completely ignoring all the moral issues that the Catholic Church has traditionally upheld, completely ignoring those and saying the overriding and the only thing that he's really concerned about are open borders and controlling the energy usage of people. But the reality of it is that that's not compassion. That is not helping the poor. The thing that affects life expectancy and standard of living more than anything else is cheap, available energy.
Absolutely.
And so there are ways to make that cleaner. But if you come in with your fiat pronouncements using an authoritarian approach, a top-down approach, to do that, what they're doing is they're creating a new kind of imperialism. That's what India said. Hey, we don't like the fact that you're arbitrarily going to decide at some international level which countries are allowed to grow and which ones are going to be forced to shrink. And that's quite frankly what we're going to be seeing here. We've seen it already, as you pointed out in your documentary, Blue, and as we've seen in our news reporting, we have seen how they are selectively shutting down core raw material resource industries in the United States, but it's not going to stop there. The people who live in the suburbs and the cities need to understand that Agenda 21 is going to be coming for them too. We've already seen them moving for their barbecue grills, for their wood stoves, for everything, because this is about total domination. They will never be satisfied with enough. They'll never have enough. They're just like J.D. Rockefeller when he asked how much is enough. He said, well, always just a little bit more. They will always want more power over you, more of your money, and that's where they're coming for everybody. They're going to take away. If they don't respect the land rights, the property rights of people who have lived on these, they have these mines for over a century and a half, they're not going to respect your homeowner's deed either.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, going back to these people who live out there and who were raised in the industry there, whether it's the mining industry or the timber industry, these people love the land so much. That's why they live there. They live there for the beauty and they understand it better than anybody else. And what devastates me is when I see these people get labeled as, you know, these people who just want to pillage and rape the planet and take all the trees and destroy all the mountains. That's not who they are. You know, none of them want that. And they understand their backyard better than anybody else does. That is better than anybody from Cornell University, better than anybody from Washington DC. And it is so insulting to them when they come in there and say, you can't do this anymore.
That's right. That's what they do to people who have ranches. They say, well, we don't like the way you treat your animals or whatever. It's like, those animals are not only do, you know, they're my livelihood. If I abuse them, I'm destroying my own business. So in many cases, we see that. We're almost out of time, but I want to touch on the documentary that you did about wolves, because we've talked about the one that you've got coming up, Vice Bear, about polar bears. Great film. Hope you get that successfully started with Kickstarter. Blue that you put up on your channel for people to see. Let's talk real briefly, just got a couple of minutes here, about the one, the reintroduction of wolves into Yellowstone.
So this is what got me going. The film's called Crying Wolf, and you can check that out. You can check that entire film out on Blue Beat Screen, my YouTube channel as well. Please do that. It's what opened my eyes. I was 17 years old at the time. I grew up on a cattle ranch, and we got surrounded by wolves. Long story short, they came into the valley shortly after the reintroduction in 1995, and they started destroying the wildlife that lived there. They started eating horses, you know, ripping apart foals and cattle like crazy. The government was sending in people in airplanes to gun them down, and none of this was reported. Okay, it still hasn't been reported. And so I picked up a camera and a microphone, and I didn't really know much about the issue other than what I was seeing was not lining up with what people were being told. And so one thing led to the next, and I made this film, Crying Wolf, and I put it up on the web. And within about 2 or 3 months after I released it, it was up over 100,000 plays, and I was getting messages all over the world because wolf reintroductions actually are going on all over the country right now. Wolves are continuing to spread out of Yellowstone, out of Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming, leaving a wake of destruction behind them. Elk populations, moose populations have been reduced 90 to 95% in a lot of areas in the West that took, you know, 100 years of conservation to get these animals to those levels. I could talk forever, but it a lot of this is part of Agenda 21. Corridors and carnivores was something I didn't even hear until after I released the film. I was listening to an environmentalist talk about this, somebody who pushes the Yellowstone to Yukon corridor, Wildlands Project. You may have heard of that, but it's about taking vast swaths of land from the private sector and transferring that to public sector. And they talk about core areas growing them bigger and bigger and bigger. You know,
We're out of time, JD. I wish we could go on a little bit more about that, but I'm anxious to see that film and the other films. The wolf truly is at the door, and that's what people need to understand, what's behind these moves by the federal government, by the international government. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, David. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, that's it for tonight's show. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern for the InfoWars Nightly News.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. and it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.